Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry. I'm tired of running, running, running into the things that kill my soul. Tired of always swinging hammers at the love that makes me whole. I'm and I'm Corey.
And we're sitting here with Chad Hess. And Chad, if you would just take the opportunity to introduce yourself.
All right. I'm Chad Hess, and I have the privilege of being married to Jana. We have a 2-year-old son named Stone, and then we are expecting another one February 14th. And so right around the corner, we don't know what we're having. We're going to be surprised, so that's good. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor at Woodmont Baptist Church, and have been here since February of last year, so almost a year. That's who I am.
Nice. Any hobbies or anything that you'd
like to tell us about? Well, I like to read, do a lot of reading. Right now I'm reading, I've just joined Audible, Audible. I'm like, yeah.
Fantastic.
It is wonderful.
Yeah, I think I heard you talk about that.
I absolutely love Audible. Right now, so I'm listening to Passion for God, the biography of A.W. Tozer, and I'm reading Delighting in God by A.W. Tozer. And so a lot of Tozer in my world right now. So I like reading, I like hanging out with the family and playing with my son Stone. So
okay, I've got The Pursuit of God. Is that that's by A.W. Tozer? Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I've heard it's a really good one. I pretty much heard anything by A.W. Tozer. It's pretty trustworthy, pretty awesome. Something we make everybody do whenever we interview him is just share. If you could just share a quick little just snippet of your testimony, how you came to know Jesus, that type of thing.
Yeah, so I had the privilege by the Lord's grace to grow up in a pastor's home. My dad served as a pastor for 30 years, and the Lord saved me under his ministry, and it was a wonderful experience. I was real young. I was about 7 years old, and I remember praying and asking the Lord to save me when I was at the dinner table, which, if you know what I look like, I spent a lot of time at the dinner table. So it was a good moment. And then, but you know, as I grew up, we experienced a lot of hardship in the church through a lot of church splits and church fighting. And so we went through 2 or 3 church splits in that time, and just really caused me to question the local church and question really Christianity for some point. When I was a junior in high school, I moved to a new school and a new place where my dad was pastoring, and got involved in a church there. And our youth minister there, his name was Steve Mickey. He was a football coach and my youth minister, and so we were around each other all the time. And just became real influential in my life, sowed into me. And then during that time, there was also this church that came up to Eastern Kentucky where my dad was pastor, and they would do these mission projects and all this kind of stuff. And that church was Woodmont Baptist Church. So it's pretty incredible to think about how the Lord used them in my life to restore my view of the church in some ways. And then when I moved down here to go to school, got involved here at Woodmont. Was asked to become the interim youth minister when the youth minister that was here, Greg Hammond, when he left, and did that, and then became full-time youth minister for about 10 years, left, and then came back to serve as senior pastor. And so the Lord has been incredibly gracious to me, because in that season of doubting the church, he has led me to himself, and out of that love for him has led me back to love the church.
Mm. So. And that's a good illustration of how the Lord can use, you know, just one body to reach out to one person. And so that's a really good encouragement for those who might be listening, to be faithful in your local congregation and to really plug in, because, I mean, you never know who you're going to reach out there to. And I know the church that I grew up in, Southside Baptist Church in Fayette, Alabama, they were very faithful in reaching out to me when I myself had doubts about the church as well. So, you know, if you're listening, just know that your congregation, your ministry with your local church is very, very important. Be sure that you're plugged in and doing what you can to help serve that church. Chad, how would you define an everyday ministry?
Such a good question. I would start by saying to know the Word. Start in the Word and to love the Word and to study the Word, because I think out of that flows the ability and the Holy Spirit uses the word to equip you for ministry. And I think it's real hard to be an everyday minister and to literally serve every day, no matter what role you're in. I think all Christians are called to be in ministry in their life. But if we're not in the Word and we neglect that and we neglect prayer, then we cripple ourselves in our efforts to be an everyday minister. So I would start by saying it starts with love for the Lord, love for His Word, and then a love for people. And then when you have that love for people that flows out of your love for Him, you see those opportunities before you. And so ministry can happen in any way, shape, and form, and at any time. It may be for somebody that's walking down the street and they see someone who needs help in a physical situation, or it may be interceding for someone on behalf of someone in prayer. And so it takes very different forms, and I think the Lord gives, through His Word, He teaches us that the Holy Spirit gives different gifts and abilities. And so to know how the Lord has equipped you and then to use that faithfully every day in His service. And so it looks a lot different for everybody. For me, it's hospital visits, sermon prep, and reaching out as much as I can, trying to live holy before people, but also knowing the Lord's grace when I'm not as holy as I should be. So
exactly. Chad said that for certain people, it looks different. And, you know, as we progress through this year with the podcast, we're going to cover different areas of ministry. Yeah, you know, Chad said for him, it's hospital visits and working on his messages and things like that. You know, for other people, for maybe youth ministers, it might be going to ball games, going to events, going to things like that. You know, for college ministers, you know, it's just being involved in those college events on campus. So it looks different for everybody. But the most important thing that he touched on, that it begins with the Word. And for our listeners, always remember, any ministry that you're striving to be a part of or get involved with, it needs to begin with the Word. It always needs to go back to the Word. You should never build a ministry around your own ideas and opinions and then make the Word support those ideas. If you could, just tell us about your church, please, the demographics, the other staff, maybe the size of it, anything you want to mention about where you serve at.
Yeah, so Woodmont Baptist Church is located in the center of Florence, Alabama. It's like right in the center of town, which is amazing and wonderful. The church started in 1961. It was a vision of some people. They saw the town of Florence was moving toward North Florence, and so they said, we want to plant a church there, conservative Baptist church that would reach people for the glory of God and expand His kingdom. And so that's how the vision started. And under the leadership of very, very great men, the church experienced some radical growth. Pretty amazing to see what the Lord did in such a short amount of time, especially in the late 80s and early 90s under the ministry of Bill Trapp. There was such an incredible explosion of growth. I think our church went from like 700 members to 2,000. Just an incredible time in the church's life. And so then after that, he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and ended up passing away in his ministry here. Then faithful men followed him and have come in and done great. But our church demographics have changed over the years. Instead of a real young church, we've experienced what all churches experience, is that growth in members' age over time and things like that. And so trying to not become settlers, but always remain being pioneers. It's a great quote I heard one time. And we're always prone to settle in what we're doing and not be pioneers anymore. And so we're in the middle of trying to revitalize and bring back that passion for reaching people in the community that surrounds us. So our church right now is largely made up of an older demographic. Senior citizen population is large, but we have very vibrant young people as well. And so we've been blessed with that. We have a strong youth program, children's ministry program. And so we run about 500 in Sunday school, 400 to 500 in Sunday school. And then on a worship service, we'll probably have, 600, somewhere around there. And so it's been a real blessing that the Lord has done some things here. We have 7 other staff members. So we have myself as a senior pastor. We have an associate pastor who the Lord has allowed to be here for 25 years. We have a youth pastor who's been here for a little over 2 years. And we have a children's pastor, a singles minister, and then we have music minister and benevolence ministry that helps reach out to the community and provide for needs. And so the Lord's just blessed us. It's been a real wonderful time here. So,
with the associate pastor that's been here 25 years, mm-hmm. how has that helped you coming into the church? Because mm-hmm. you've been here a little over a year and a half.
Yeah, like just getting ready to start a year. So okay. the interesting thing about the story for me is that I had the privilege and opportunity to serve here as youth minister for 9.5 years, almost 10 years, from 2006 to 2015. And so the associate pastor and the staff that was here, a lot of those are still here, and we still have the great working relationship. It's funny because I believe the associate pastor, his strengths are my weaknesses. And so the Lord's been gracious in that and putting us together and seeing how the body of Christ works together in that. But he's detail-oriented. He's organized. I am not.
I feel you on that one.
I am more big vision person, yeah. but strategy, little details of how to get there, don't always see those. And so, like, casting the vision, I'm all for. And seeing the need, I'm all for. But he helps make it work yeah. and put it into practice and say, hey, you might want to check with these folks, or you might want to check with this committee, or you might want to run this yeah. through them. And so it's really nice to have those checks and balances. And I think he would say the same, like, his weaknesses are my strengths. And so and the Lord's really doing some awesome things in that, through that. So
I think that's a common trend with anybody that's come out of youth ministry. At some point, you were very unorganized, or you might still be unorganized like myself. And if you have those people that compliment you at your church, those staff members, or maybe even volunteers or anything like that, that's always a blessing to have. One thing I was going to say was I've always really admired at this church how you guys, you mentioned all the different ministries y'all have when you were mentioning the staff. And I think that's really important that it's kind of like you have something for everybody. You know, you guys are on mission. You guys have, you know, stuff for singles. You guys have things for youth and college and kids. And, I mean, just all kind of different areas for senior adults. For our listeners out there, you know, maybe you attend a church where, you know, maybe they're struggling with finding a certain ministry for a certain age group. And maybe you can be the one that reaches out and starts that vision. Mm-hmm. So if that's you and you hear this, I would encourage you, you know, sit down, pray about it, you know, see what the Word may say about that, and then, you know, cast a vision if you've got it. Because it's really important that we don't lock up certain age groups and certain areas of ministry and then, you know, pass on others without thinking about different age groups and different types of people. Here's a really good one for you. Mm-hmm. What are the most difficult areas of pastoral ministry for you? This mm-hmm. is going to be good.
Yeah, I think pastoral ministry, especially as a senior pastor, you know, obviously I've only been in this role for just about a year. Mm-hmm. And so I think it starts first with personal holiness and a personal devotion to the Word, to the Lord. And I won't say that's the most difficult, but I will say that there's always this temptation to study for your sermons and mm-hmm. apply that as your quiet time
yeah.
or study for your, you know, just other aspects of ministry. And you say, well, that's my time with the Lord. And mm-hmm. you miss out on the wonderful relationship. And then what happens is how the enemy uses that is he will say, he will make you think that your quiet time is your work. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start looking at it and trying to look at it from a different perspective than what it's intended and say, well, Lord, I've worked so hard for you. And then he's like, wait a second, you yeah. didn't even reach yeah. out, you know? And so mm-hmm. that's a huge aspect of it that is wonderful that the Lord is graciously teaching me. And we were talking earlier before this started about foundations, mm-hmm. the discipleship guide and how wonderful that has been for me to be intentionally involved in disciples, making disciples through that resource. And it's just an easy resource to use and it helps keep you in the Word and keep you accountable. But for the pastoral ministry, I think one of the hardest things for me is the administration end of things. Mm-hmm. And I think because I am super thankful for an opportunity in my life that came between transition when I left Woodmont from being a student minister. I had the opportunity to go over to Shoals Christian School and serve as the campus pastor there. And that in that season of those 2 years, the Lord taught me so much about administration. He taught me so much about organization. And those are areas that I'm incredibly weak in. And so the Lord was training me up and provided a wonderful training ground for me to learn and try to work on the weaknesses before casting me into this role yeah. and calling me into it. And so, but still, it's a challenge, and it's a real interesting dynamic to think through all the little details, and knowing that what you say and the steps you take carry a lot of weight with people. And so you have to intentionally make sure that every decision you make and every word you say is with the hope of making disciples and nice. Drawing them deeper. And so, anyway, just garden those things and not letting the enemy have a stronghold is really important.
Mm. Kind of a sub question here that I kind of got off of something you said. You know, you talked about how we have to make sure that our quiet time, that doesn't replace, you know, sermon prep and things like that, which is so important and so great. And I am very thankful you said that. But with that, we've talked about reading books and things mm-hmm. like that. And just some conversations I've had personally over the past couple of weeks, what do you think is a good balance? Some people have the struggle of replacing reading of the Word.
Yeah.
What do you think the balance is there, and how do you kind of manage that?
So I love reading, as I've told you. Same. And I love reading like Tozer and Spurgeon and all those guys, and just thankful for their ministries. But they were great men because they had such a strong relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I respect their writing, I also understand the source from which it came from. And if I really want to experience the truth of what they were writing in their books and what they were trying to get us to know, is that I should go to that same source that's available to us. And so I think that is a common practice in ministry, mm-hmm. especially, is that we would be tempted to replace our study of the Word with study of books. But I was never called to be a follower of Spurgeon or Tozer or any of these guys. I was called to be a follower of Jesus. And so just the weight of that and the impact of that, and to know that the Word is called the double-edged sword. The Word is called it has the power to awaken the dead and spiritually and to raise them to life. And when Paul writes and he says, I want to know one thing, make one thing known among you, and that is Jesus and him crucified. There's no other source that can help you learn that more than the Word. It's living and active. And so anyway, just need that first. And then I supplement anytime I can with the reading of the books. And so that's why I'm a big fan of pushing again Audible, because I find myself going in 1,000 different directions and not really having the time to sit down and read a book or read as many books as I want. And so Audible is one of those things that I can just play in my car or something like that and really benefit from. So,
man, Audible, you're talking about it.
Yeah.
When I took Systematic One in my seminary, just an amazing blessing, because I could ride to work and listen to the chapters. Because, I mean, you had to read three books and two or three chapters a week, and it would just be crazy. So Audible is very helpful, no doubt about that.
Yeah. It is. And it's just a resource. And I think, you know, so much bad on the internet and on technology.
Mm.
And we hear more about that than we do the good that's there. Mm-hmm. And man, we're just living in an opportunity where we have all these resources at our fingertips and use them for the glory of God. You know?
Absolutely. So we've talked about what's challenging, what's difficult for you. So now, what is your favorite part of pastoral ministry?
Mm. Transformation. I'm seeing people transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word. There's nothing like it, and it never gets old. And then also to see people that start using their gifts and talents and being able to see them and just see where the Lord is calling them. I am praying right now for our church that we would see a generation of ministers raised up from our church, and to be able to train them up and disciple them and then to send them out. Not for our church, but for the Lord. And I think there's this awesome happening in our generation that young people are so passionate about the Lord, and when he calls, they answer, and they're willing to go anywhere. And so I'm praying for that in our church, that God would raise up some faithful young men and women for his service, and see how that goes. So I'm looking forward to that.
I guess the most rewarding part of being a pastor, that would go in, along with what you just said, seeing people raised up. But I think a lot of people, you know, they miss, I guess, the enjoyment, just seeing God work and his will be done in people's lives. And just knowing that when you're faithful, he's faithful also. And I know in my own life in ministry, I've been at it for 6 years now, that the reward is just seeing that when I'll be quiet and do what he says and follow his way and his will, that he's faithful back to me. And I'm sure you could agree with that and the things that you've been able to see happen.
And you know this too. I mean, like the ebb and flow of ministry and what we would term, you know, worldly success. And, you know, it's real easy to get caught up into that. And if you do, then there's seasons where you're not having much worldly success and numbers are down and you're like, you know, I remember being as a youth pastor, we had a fifth quarter, we had like 300 kids show up and we're like, oh, we got to do this again, man. We just, you know, had the opportunity to share the gospel with 300 kids. And so we did it the next time and we ordered all this pizza and I had all this stuff ready and there's 10 kids showed up. We're like, what happened? You know? And I think that the temptation for us is always to attach our identity to the ministry, more to the Lord. And so, I think that, you know, with that being there, you know, the reward for me in ministry has been to know him and, like you said, to find him faithful. And even in those seasons where I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Or why is this not working out like I thought it would? Man, he's still so faithful. And sometimes it helps me to understand him more as a father and as a loving intervention into, you know, myself. And it's just a wonderful source to be at, where you know, like, okay, if my ministry, and I pray it doesn't, but if it fails tomorrow and you know, you're like Jeremiah and you preach for 40 years and you don't have one single person listen to you, then to know he's still worth it, he's still worth whatever happens, and to know he's worthy of me proclaiming it, even if it falls on ears that won't listen.
So here's a really good one that if some of our listeners out there, they may struggle with this, and I know churches that struggle with this as well. What's the way to keep a good relationship with your staff members? And you guys seem to get along really well here and work well together. What advice can you shed on that?
I am constantly learning and growing in this area, and we do have good relationships with our staff, and we're thankful for that. But our staff has been in a situation where it's been hard the last few years. We haven't seen a lot of, again, the success as far as numbers and growth and these kind of things. And so there's been this pressure, you know, on them. And I remember coming in and you know, they're just wondering, like, what's going to happen? Who's the next pastor going to be? And then suddenly I come in and it's the guy they worked with for all those years, and they're like, oh man, this guy, you know, we really scraped bottom. but you know, one of the things for us is that we try to encourage each other and to remind ourselves of we're not here to please people. We're here to please the Lord. And so if we can center ourselves on that, then that gives us the freedom to go out and try new things and make mistakes and know that, hey, we're not going to knock it out of the park 100% of the time, but we're going to pursue the Lord and all. And one of the things we did just last week to start the new year was just, instead of our staff meeting open up normal as usual, we just had a time of worship and prayer to start off the new year as a team. And then, but to have those honest conversations and just be completely honest. And we try to get our staff in the staff meeting and just say, you can say whatever you want in here. And because if you say it in here, people are thinking it out there. And if we can go ahead and have really honest and hard dialogue in staff meetings, then that frees us up to make the best decision going forward and to know what some people may be thinking about, or some of their objections to new ideas and things like that, or to things we want to change. And usually your staff's really got a good, you know, finger on the pulse of the church and knowing how people will. And so learning to listen to them and hear their feedback about certain aspects is always welcomed. So they help keep me accountable.
We always do, toward the end of the podcast, a plug of the week. And we were just wondering, do you have anything you would like to plug, any book, any resource, podcast, anything of that sort?
Yeah, man, I'm a podcast nerd and a book nerd. And so for book, my favorite of all time is The Attributes of God by A.W. Tozer. And I mentioned him a lot because I'm reading a lot of him now. Right. And just incredible. But I read it in seminary in our spiritual formation class. And it has been a go-to for me in ministry and just knowing. And then, of course, C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. I think in our generation, it's so important for people to know solid apologetics and to know that we can stand firm in our faith in Jesus. And so C.S. Lewis is one of those huge influences in my life. And then on the leadership end of things, I listen to podcasts for that end. And, man, there's some great leadership, business world leadership, like Entree Leadership. Dave Ramsey's ministry does that. Craig Groeschel, leadership podcast, has been encouraging.
And it's pretty easy to listen to because it's one a month.
Yeah.
And he recaps each time. I mean, it's really good, too.
And it'll give you the notes and things like that. And so just good, another good resource. So,
would you like to share with the listeners how they could find you maybe on social media, you know, get your follower status up, and, or maybe find Woodmont or any kind of resource you guys might could have on the internet?
Yeah, well, you can find me. I'm involved on Facebook. I'll tell you something. I'll just make a last-minute confession. I did the end of the year Facebook quiz thing, like what word did you say the most, you know, with like the diagram that shows that word the biggest, and the biggest word on mine was Stone Edward Hess. And so I really kind of felt convicted in that, because I realized, man, I talked more about my son than I did the Lord's son, and talked more about my son than I did my Savior in the year 2017. So really trying to be intentional with my social media to encourage people in the word and to let people know where I stand and why I stand there. So Twitter, it's ChadHess09, and then Instagram, ChadHess09, and then Facebook is just Chad Hess, WoodmontBaptist.org. And so you can hit me up on any of those, and we'd love to connect with y'all.
Awesome.
Corey, do you have anything before we get off here?
Just remember to thank your pastors. I think I said this on the last one, but thank your pastors for what they do in their service. It's a different type of world, being a pastor of a church, a lead pastor. And just let your pastors know you love them. Let them know that you pray for them. Hopefully you are praying for them. And just let them know that you are glad for the work that the Lord's doing through them. And just be encouraging. We know a lot of pastors that they don't get that encouragement from their church. And so, very important. God's equipped them to do the work, but they also need that extra boost from the people that they're shepherding and the people that they're over. So,
Chad, do you want to add anything before we get off here?
Man, I just echo all of that. And that's just not for senior pastors. That's for all people involved in church leadership. It is sometimes a discouraging place, but always a good place. But youth, I'll just say this, youth pastor is still the hardest job.
Thanks. I agree. I second that.
I came from a youth pastor to a pastorate myself, and I can agree. I think youth pastor was more difficult. Sometimes sitting in the second chair is very nice, but sometimes it is a lot harder. Well, guys, I enjoyed the episode this week. Chad, thank you for being on the podcast with us. I'm excited about the series we got coming on the different ministry positions. This is just the first one. Next week, we're going to be addressing youth pastors. So tune in for that one. But this has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. I'm sick of running into the wind that strikes my back, bounce on to start kicking and screaming. Gotta get out of here fast. I'm running. Back to my roots and all the roads that lead to you.
swear they know my head and mind.